This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Wednesday, April 22nd is the 50th anniversary of the original Earth Day. This week on the Compass, we talk with one of the organizers of what was to have been a week of activities and celebrations to mark the occasion, and learn what opportunities still exist now that the COVID-19 pandemic has put a damper on all public gatherings. So now, let's go inside the Compass. After 20 years working as a political consultant and another 20 years as a Microsoft employee, Diane McDade retired last year and moved to Port Townsend. Not one to easily sit idle, McDade soon became active with the sustainability group Local 2020 and quickly found herself appointed to the Joint City-County Climate Action Advisory Committee. She also became one of the chief organizers for what was envisioned to be an entire week of activities, educational events, and celebrations to mark the 50th anniversary of the original Earth Day this week, pretty much all of which has now been canceled. I met with McDade a few days ago, in a virtual sort of way, to talk about her work on climate, the Earth Week that was not to be, and things people can nonetheless do to honor the Earth Day tradition to heal a wounded world.
I know that you're on the Local 2020 Climate Action Group and also on the Joint City and County Climate Action Group. When did you become interested and active in climate issues, and how did you become involved?
I was actually looking at the PT leader, and I noticed last year, maybe in the springtime, there was an opening on the Citizen Joint City County Climate Action Committee for a citizen representative. And I had recently retired and had some free time. And I thought, you know, this is the one issue that I could really get excited about volunteering on. And I just decided to go ahead and apply for that. And so I was accepted and appointed to the committee in August of 2019. I've always been interested in the climate issue, but in terms of getting active here locally, that's when it began.
The city and county several years ago came up with a really, I thought, quite ambitious climate action plan that I haven't really heard much about, in terms of follow-up recently. So how are we going in terms of reaching the various benchmarks that were set forth in that plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. The committee has been in existence, I think, since about 2009. And in fact, they have been working not just the city and the county themselves, but also with a variety of other people around the county, the paper mill, Jefferson Healthcare, the Port, the PUD, Jefferson Transit. They're all part of the committee, and all those organizations have been actively working on their own individual climate plans and work activities. And so the committee has not done a huge amount of public outreach. So you're right, people aren't really aware as much as they might be about those programs. And so recently the committee wanted to figure out where we stood and to formally measure our greenhouse gas emissions to just see if we've made any improvement or not. So in fact, they undertook what was about a year-long effort to formally document the greenhouse gas emissions here in Jefferson County. And that inventory just was released to the public this last Monday on April 13th. And the city and the county council both got briefings on that. And there's actually a lot of really good news in that report. And there's also a lot of work that still remains to be done.
What's the good news first? Let's have the good news first.
Well, the good news is that if you look at the emissions that are generated here directly in Jefferson County, we have reduced our overall greenhouse gas emissions by 40% contrasted to the levels that were measured in 2005. So quite a significant reduction. And it really stems from two different major sort of inflection points. One of them is that in 2013, we switched our source of electricity. In the voter approved initiative, the PUD came into being. And that means that our power is now sourced from Bonneville Power Administration. And that is like 99% hydropower, renewable energy. So that brings down our greenhouse gas emissions that are generated from electricity by like 98%. That's a huge, huge, you know, reduction. And then the next really laudable thing that happened was the Port Townsend Paper Company made major investments in efficiency improvements, and they were able to bring down their greenhouse gas emissions by 52%.
Wow.
And that is a really significant thing for a major industrial contributor like they are for the overall picture. They had represented in the 2005 inventory a pretty major part of our greenhouse gas emissions. So by bringing that down, those two inflection points really made the difference. There's been some other good efforts on the part of the county and the city and the school district and others. But if you really look at the numbers, those are the two big things. So that's the good news.
Just to refer back to the Bonneville switch, though, yes, that would have decreased the Jefferson County footprint. However, Bonneville is not actually producing any more renewable power than they were before, so it doesn't really tip the overall equation, does it?
You're right that they were already producing that power, maybe in serving others, but our inventory was really focused on, you know, what's happened here in Jefferson County. So I agree with you. If you look at a global level, it didn't change things, but the software and the program that we have to look at all of this is counting things, you know, just according to where the emissions occurred. And so those emissions have gone down in the way that the accounting is done in the software here in Jefferson County. So
I see.
I think it's a legitimate way to do the accounting, but you're right. We still don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, because these actions were not the result of individuals here in the county necessarily doing things differently. And that's except for the mill, of course. So we really do need to think through what further reductions we can take collectively. And the area where that's the most obvious, the inventory shows, is in transportation. The sort of challenging news in the study was that our transportation emissions have gone up. Yeah, it's amazing. You see a lot of electric cars on the road, but we found, if you look at the registrations of cars in Jefferson County, less than 1% are electric vehicles. And that's similar to the statewide numbers. So really, we have a long ways to go in transportation.
All right. So, well, but this is not what we actually we're going to talk about this morning. I called you actually because I know that you were one of the people who decided that this being the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, that there should be a big celebration and recognition of that in Jefferson County this week. So could you tell me a little bit about how that decision came to be and what was planned? And then, of course, you know, what has now changed in the new context of COVID-19?
Sure. You know, it is an amazing thing that it was 50 years ago we had our first Earth Day. And when we were all contemplating, those of us on the Climate Action Committee, of how we would release the results of that inventory, we realized it would be ready just about the same time as Earth Day celebrations. And so we thought maybe we'd kind of release our results at an Earth Day celebration. And this was actually Laura Tucker's idea. Laura is with the Jefferson County Public Health Department, and she had been active with some of the Earth Day celebrations in Jefferson County in years past, where there was really a beautiful, large celebration outdoors at the high school fields. And so we thought, well, why not go ahead and, you know, try to drum that back up again. So we identified a lot of people who were interested in this just as citizen volunteers. And we came together, we actually met, I'm looking at our old notes, we met on December 11th, back before Christmas, and had our first meeting. And then met all the way up until last month when we had our last meeting, which was a virtual meeting. But we had put together not just a day of activity, but a whole week of activities stretching across Jefferson County. We were dubbing it Earth Week. And so a lot of different people from different organizations had come together and worked and planned what was to have been quite a string of interesting events.
Can you list some of the events that were going to take place?
Sure. The week would have kicked off over at Finn River. They have done an Earth Day celebration every year. They were going to do a big family celebration followed by a really great band in the evening. The Port Townsend Marine Science Center always does an annual beach cleanup, and they had identified the date, looking at the tides, for that. That would have been an effort to really bring out a record number of people for beach cleanup. The Students for Sustainability is a group of high school students at Port Townsend High School. They had planned their own activities on Earth Day itself after school and were considering their own cleanup, originally a march, then it to a cleanup. The Friends of Fort Worden had their annual meeting that week. They were bringing in a keynote speaker. But our big event was going to be taking place on April 25th, Earth Day at Salish Coast, to host a big celebration at the new elementary school. And that was going to combine celebrations, workshops, speakers, all kinds of indoor and outdoor activities. Again, really a family-friendly event. We also had the Native Plant Society doing several workshops and meetings and hosting walks that people could have participated in. There was going to also be at the Quimper Universal Unitarian Church their Earth Sunday services. They give out an Eco Hero Award every year that was taking place. We had in mind some sustainable forest practices, workshops, and discussions. There was going to be a poetry reading one evening. I mean, it kind of goes on and on, but pretty much every day of the week, there would have been an event. The two libraries were putting together displays. We would probably be looking to have a speaker, at the library in PT. And then PT Main Street does their annual Main Street cleanup, and that was also scheduled. And by pulling everything together and cross-promoting all these events, we had hoped to really sort of have more volunteers and more activity than ever before. There is an international organization, earthday.org, that's been working on this 50th celebration for a couple of years, believe it or not. And so, we had also been looking at what earthday.org was doing and registering our events with them so that anybody who wanted to participate could find out about what we were doing. And we'd be sort of joining in with people at the national, international level.
So has all of that been canceled or various? I mean, I would imagine, for example, that the Unitarians are probably still going to issue their award, are they not, for example?
I don't know, because those services have all been canceled. There's really nothing in person that's happening that I know about. Things started to get canceled in March, and we were sort of hoping that maybe a few things could take place, but so far not. Now, some people have repurposed and gone to a virtual event, and there are a few things that I can tell you that are going to be happening in this next week that will be happening online that people can definitely participate in. Finn River is hosting an event on Earth Day itself, which is Wednesday, April 22nd. From 12 to 1 p.m. And it is going to be something for the family, particularly oriented towards children. It's an Earth Day musical, and it will take place from 12 to 1. And so if people want to have, it's really adorable. It's something called Live Music in the Living Room. It's a special of Ella, Bella B, and the Pollinators. So it's a show about bees, and just looking at some of the photos that are associated with it, it looks really great. So if one goes to the Finn River Facebook page, you'll be able to access that live show. And again, that's from 12 to 1 on Wednesday, April 22nd. And then there is going to be a composting class the following day on April 23rd that is going to be via your Zoom meeting. And the food co-op is hosting that. It's a home composting class, and that's from 11:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon, 2 hours. And you go there to the food co-op, to their online, you know, foodcoop.com, and you'll be able to register there for that event. And that's sponsored by Jefferson County Public Health along with the...
So you need to go in advance to that so that you can get an invitation to the Zoom meeting, I imagine. I mean, you can't go...
I would definitely register for that in advance.
So I'm sorry, that starts at 11:30 on Thursday the 23rd?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then I would recommend that folks go on Earth Day to the organization earthday.org. And there's a lot of digital events that they're hosting. And so that's, as I say, an international organization that I don't want to try to talk to everything they're doing. But if you go to earthday.org, you'll see various events happening and things that you can participate in digitally.
So
there are other actions I can mention that people are hoping that, you know, folks will do to celebrate Earth Day just on their own, not digitally, but other things that our members of our committee came up with other ideas. Some of those ideas are geared to children. We know everybody's home with their kids now. One would be to have families draw nature pictures and put them in their window. So when people walk by, they can see, you know, your artwork. And then another idea is to really get active in planting a garden of your own. And if you haven't done it before, to just start small. And then there is a gentleman named Michael Pilarski, Friends of the Trees, an organization in Port Hadlock that he is the organizer of. And he is actually giving away some native shrubs and plants. And so if you go to friendsofthetrees.com, you will find him, and he's going to just take orders as they come and offer people native plants to grow in their yard.
There's another thing that I was telling you about yesterday, which is, I know that you hadn't heard of this before, but there's a group of people who are organizing through the Jefferson Community Foundation, a thing called the Olympic Carbon Fund. Mm-hmm. Which is an opportunity for people to examine their own fossil fuel footprints and donate what we're calling a carbon tithe, which is 10% of you know what you actually spend on gasoline for your car or for your fuel oil for your heat or whatever, you know, direct expenditures for fossil fuels, or you can spend as much as you think your actual fossil footprint is into this fund that will be managed by the Jefferson Community Foundation. And the way the money, at least initially, is going to be spent, after much like sort of contemplation of how to use that money to address the climate crisis directly, to try and divert the 3,000 or so cubic yards that the paper mill is churning out in biochar, which is a substance that has proven to be really valuable for multiple purposes, from improving the fertility and water retention and the productivity of soils, agricultural soils in particular. But I mean, it's excellent in any soil. But the really exciting thing about it is, well, for one thing, you're directly sequestering carbon in the soil. Also, soils that have been replenished with biochar have been shown to themselves start to sequester carbon out of the atmosphere. So that's a rather exciting new development, and it's a way that actually everybody in the community can get involved in directly addressing the climate crisis. And it's something you can do from home simply by sending a check to the Jefferson Community Foundation. Now, the fund is not completely set up yet, so this is something that'll be, you know, like some weeks out there. But
That's a really interesting, exciting idea. I put biochar down on my garden, and I didn't have any idea that it was that. I knew it was good. I didn't know it was that good. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Really? How long ago did you do that?
Well, to be honest, it was just last fall, and you could see an immediate reaction. I have a relatively new landscape that we installed like a year before that, and it really responded. It was really interesting, and it's very powerful. I mean, you can really you do a soil test, you'll see the difference. So yeah, that's, I didn't understand as fully that it also relates to the sequestration of carbon. That's interesting.
Well, you know, I have to say that a lot of the science around this is pretty new, but there have been some studies that seem to indicate that the amount of carbon in biochar treated soils tend to increase year after year. And that's despite the fact that, you know, of course, when you harvest food out of a garden, you're taking nutrients away. So it does seem to actually be replenishing the
Steve, I realized that I forgot to mention one other digital event that's kind of interesting for folks. Judy Alexander, who was active in our committee, was able to reach out to Louis Schwartzberg, who was the person who made that movie Fantastic Fungi that played for so many weeks at the Rose, which also relates directly to what we're talking about, how the fungi are so important for the soil. And so that she reached out to him hoping he could be an attendee or a speaker at one of our Earth Week events. And in that process became aware of the fact that now that everything is shut down, that they are streaming an event on April 21st. So that would be on Tuesday, the day before Earth Day. And that is going to be something, they're calling it Fungi Day. And so if one goes to fantasticfungi.com, you will be able to go and live stream that event that's taking place. It's a whole series of events on that Tuesday, April 21st. And so they're one day out ahead of Earth Day. They're calling it Fungi Day.
People can go to the local 2020 website, can they, to find this list of events if they have failed to have their pencil sharpened and available for this interview?
That's right. Local 2020 website will have a list of all of this.
But of course, there is nothing to prevent individuals, I mean, on beaches that are open anyway, from going out themselves at any time and picking up garbage and hauling it away.
That's true. Very good point.
To close out this Earth Week compass, we bring you Wendell Berry reading his revered poem, A Poem on Hope, excerpted from an interview he gave Bill Moyers in 2013.
It is hard to have hope. It is harder as you grow old, for hope must not depend on feeling good. And there is the dream of loneliness at absolute midnight. You also have withdrawn belief in the present reality of the future, which surely will surprise us. And hope is harder when it cannot come by prediction any more than by wishing. But stop dithering. The young ask the old to hope. What will you tell them? Tell them at least what you say to yourself. Because we have not made our lives to fit our places, the forests are ruined, the fields eroded, the streams polluted, the mountains overturned. Hope, then, to belong to your place by your own knowledge of what it is that no other place is, and by your caring for it as you care for no other place, this place that you belong to, though it is not yours, for what it was from the beginning and will be to the end. Belong to your place by knowledge of the others who are your neighbors in it. The old man, sick and poor, who comes like a heron to fish in the creek, and the fish in the creek, and the heron who man-like fishes for the fish in the creek, and the birds who sing in the trees in the silence of the fisherman and the heron, and the trees that keep the land they stand upon, as we too must keep it or die. This knowledge cannot be taken from you by power or by wealth. It will stop your ears to the powerful when they ask for your faith, and to the wealthy when they ask for your land and your work. Answer with knowledge of the others who are here and how to be here with them. By this knowledge, make the sense you need to make. By it, stand in the dignity of good sense, whatever may follow. Speak to your fellow humans as your place has taught you to speak, as it has spoken to you. Speak its dialect as your old compatriots spoke it before they had heard a radio. Speak publicly what cannot be taught or learned in public. Listen privately, silently, to the voices that rise up from the pages of books and from your own heart. Be still and listen to the voices that belong to the stream banks and the trees and the open fields. There are songs and sayings that belong to this place, by which it speaks for itself and no other. Found your hope then on the ground under your feet. Your hope of heaven, let it rest on the ground underfoot. Be it lighted by the light that falls freely upon it after the darkness of the nights and the darkness of our ignorance and madness. Let it be lighted also by the light that is within you, which is the light of imagination. By it you see the likeness of people in other places to yourself in your place. It lights invariably the need for care toward other people, other creatures in other places, as you would ask them for care toward your place and you. No place at last is better than the world. The world is no better than its places. Its places at last are no better than their people while their people continue in them. When the people make dark the light within them, the world darkens.
Wendell Berry reading A Poem on Hope for Bill Moyers in 2013. This is Steve Evans for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.